Well, we began the week with a new wrinkle in the trade disputes that seemed to be prohibiting a lot of foreign investment, maybe just Chinese investment, into U.S. technology companies. Then there were elaborations, and now the most recent wrinkle, you know, Wednesday morning, that maybe they're not going to stop all, but they're going to have a committee on foreign investment in the U.S. Vet the various attempts at investment. Ron Nash is chairman and CEO of Austin-based Pivot3, but long history at EDS and Perot Systems and Rubicon and Advanced Telemarketing and Exolink, and he also operates all over the world, Dubai, Mexico City, Asia Pacific. Ron Nash joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you, David.
Thank you. So as luck would have it, you were in Silicon Valley yesterday, I know, meeting with some people. I'm thinking this is all they were talking about.
Absolutely. No. Well, I mean, it just seemed like such a blunt instrument early in the week, you know, and that's not necessarily, I don't think, the dominant problem that people see in terms of unfair trade. I mean, and he was using a very blunt instrument, and it's kind of scary.
Okay. So how important is this? I mean, we know there and used to have one, a lot of funds that invest in startups and technology companies and that sort of thing. And I guess there are foreign investors in these funds, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's hard to figure out where they are. I mean, the first thing you need to know is the technology industry is probably one of our most global industries. I mean, the markets are global. I mean, the engineering is spread across the globe, and the funding is spread across the globe. And so to say suddenly you can't have investors from one, I mean, country is going to be hard to police practically. But also, you know, part of the technology industry is you have this virtuous cycle of a feedback loop of companies are successful, and then the individuals that make money in those things invest in other startups and other people they know, and that works really well. Well, some of the people are Chinese that are successful now in the U.S. I mean, Chinese students come to our universities and they work in our companies here, and they start investing here, and that's something I'd just as rather keep here rather than them investing in a company in China and creating jobs there.
So maybe there's a distinction. I mean, they're, I guess, passive investors, you know, a Chinese company or a German company or whatever that just sort of wants to invest, say, with you and just wants to make some money.
Correct.
And then the other side, I guess, is a Chinese company that says, we want to invest in you, but we want to be absolutely positively sure that we end up with your technology and nobody else does. Those are different circumstances.
Very different circumstances. And as a business person, you ought to be able to detect the difference in those and accept one of those investments and turn down the other. It's not that hard, I don't think.
Well, can a committee in Washington make that distinction, do you think?
Well, I think the committee, what the CFIUS has done, I think in the past, is put an extra level of scrutiny on certain industries that were defense industries or something like that. So I could see some of that. You know, that makes a lot more sense than trying to do this broad brush upon all technologies and stuff like that. When you're a software company or a hardware company and you're not really doing anything crucial to national defense, it's a little hard to disrupt you.
What's the area that's the hottest right now in investment? It's got to be some parts of technology. And where's the money coming from?
The hottest area now is probably in the cloud, with cloud-type services and such. So in other words, you know, the companies like Amazon, for example, running big data centers and building giant data centers, and then people just renting services from them versus having a data center on their own. And so, but the investment's coming from all over the world, and the cloud companies are all over the world. I mean, for heaven's sakes, they're putting them in places like, Iceland, because they've got hot thermal springs there that they can use to generate low-cost electricity to power the centers. And so the data centers are spreading all over the world. The users of the data centers are suddenly all over the world. And how you prevent Chinese investment or something like that in this in something. It's just hard to you shake your head at. You just shake your head at.
Well, so there is maybe there's a little bit less uncertainty today than there was at the beginning of the week, but there's a fair amount of uncertainty. Is this holding off deals that we're closing or investment pools that were being put together?
Well, the acquisitions. I mean, it also that's what I mean. There are big Chinese companies that are acquisitive. IBM, for example, a few years ago sold their server division to a Chinese company called Lenovo. Lenovo, global company. It is based in China. It's listed on the Hong Kong Exchange. But it's a global company with thousands of employees in the U.S., and they're acquisitive. Because so are you saying suddenly Lenovo, because they're a Chinese company, cannot buy any U.S. company? I mean, if you say that, then absolutely, you're holding off deals instantly.
And that was the exit strategy, right? I mean, you have investors and people who sweat and put together companies. And in the old days, you'd have an initial public offering and be a big success. You'd make a lot of money. But in some cases, that avenue's closed. So what you look to do is sell your company now.
That's correct. If of successful companies, forget about the ones that aren't successful, but of the successful technology companies, 80% of them are acquired by the larger incumbents in the segments. Only 15-20% of them ever get to IPO, and probably 2/3 of those that IPO within 5 years afterwards are also acquired by the larger. So these larger incumbent companies just, you know, scoop up innovation over time. And some of those larger companies are going to have tremendous markets or in tremendous connections in China. You can't ignore China as a market.
And I guess you got to be sure that the innovation continues. Ron Nash is chairman and CEO of Pivot3. It's always good to chat with you. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, David. Good to talk to you.
Thanks. I'm David Johnson. News Radio 1080 KRLD.